Good morning. It is good to see you all here, and what a blessed day it is. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 1 and verse 21. This is another short verse sermon. Can you believe that? Normally I have about 10 to 15 verses to read, but and when you get there, I'd like to ask you to stand if you're able as I read from God's Word. Philippians 1:21. I'm preaching today on I live because of Christ. And this is the Apostle Paul writing. He says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so thankful that you've given us life. We're so thankful for the reading of this powerful and mighty Word. And God, today we're asking, Lord, for your Word to just penetrate our hearts and lives, to change us from the inside out. And Lord, that we know your Word, it never comes back void. It goes forth with power. And Lord, we just pray today as I preach this message, Lord, that you will speak to us, that we will listen to your voice. And God, as I speak these words, let everything come from you through your Holy Spirit. And God, we give you the honor and the glory and praise, for it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to touch a little bit first about Paul. You know, before he became Paul, he was Saul. A lot of people probably know the story that Saul used to be a person, and he was a murderer. He hated Christians, didn't like anything to do with them, didn't want to even be in their presence. All he wanted to do, he wanted to see them annihilated. And I'm sure, I don't know how many he's ever killed, but I know that Saul killed a bunch of people. But now let's just kind of jump forward real quick. Now, Saul had an encounter with the Lord on the road to Damascus. His life was completely changed. And now he has become what I want to call a triumphant, a dedicated, and somebody who really started living for the Lord. So beforehand, when he was Saul, I don't really think that he really gave a whole lot of thought to his life. I don't think that he really weighed the consequences of his actions. And I don't think that he really had a whole lot of joy at that time. I mean, somebody who's a murderer, they're not going to be a happy person, really. I mean, we all ought to know that just from the heart, the darkness of their heart. But after he became a Christian, life opened up a whole new meaning. God had touched him, and God had erased the darkness from Paul's life. And we know that Paul became one of the greatest writers of the New Testament. He became a great witness before so many. And we also know that Paul endured really so many trials. He had a lot of afflictions that he was up against. But in this writing, he says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And I want to get a little bit deeper into that this morning. And this verse means that life's purpose to Paul, it's found in Christ, and that death to him is a blessed transition to be with the Lord. So Paul knows that his life it's found and it's based on Jesus Christ. Now, put yourself in Paul's place. You are a Christian. The old things are passed away from your old life. Everything became new the moment that you got saved. So here you are. I want to ask you this morning, what is your life based on? Is your life based on Christ? How do you look at your life, and how do you look at yourself? Now, I'm not going to ask you to think about what do others think of you. What do you think of your life in Christ? How dedicated are we? How willing are we? And are we willing to face anything that may come our way? And you know what? This really goes in line with our Sunday school lesson this morning. Isaiah had a calling. The Lord said, who will go for us? Who will I send? And Isaiah says, here am I, Lord, send me. And boy, that was the greatest. I think those are the greatest words. And that's what Paul did in his life. Paul was like Isaiah. He said, well, Lord, I mean, we don't see it in the scripture, but I can guarantee you that Paul said, under any situation, I'll do it, Lord, because I want to be faithful to you. You've given everything to me. You gave us your son, Jesus. He's been on the earth and he's walked with us and he's talked with us and then he died on the cross and he ascended back into heaven. So that's what we ought to be saying today as Christian people is, Lord, my life is based in you. You've given me so much. Now I want to give you all of me. And we ought to look at life as a precious gift. I read something last week that really struck me. It said, this morning I opened two precious gifts. And then there's a little pause on the page, and at the bottom it says, my eyes. And I thought, wow, how powerful. God has given us so many different precious gifts in this life. He's given us each other to love one another and to share with one another, to lift up and encourage. This morning, we talked about the different gifts. We talked about the different talents that each and every person has and what we're thankful for and how they do and what we can do to encourage others. What Paul did in his life, Paul didn't do it for himself. I know that Paul said within his heart, Lord, I do this for you. And that's what we should be saying with our life. Father, my life is found in you, and everything I do it for you and for your honor and for your glory only, not mine. And then now to look over here at death. Now, as a Christian, I mean, we should not be afraid. We shouldn't even be afraid of it. We should not. I mean, death is, you know, Paul knew that his life on earth was good with Christ, but also in his mind, Paul also knew he wanted to be in heaven because he knew that he would have a glorious eternity. He knew that he wouldn't face persecution. He wouldn't be whipped and beat again. He wouldn't face the mockery and he wouldn't face the hard times. And he knew, but here's what he also did. Paul said, my life here, he knew that God was with him and he always rejoiced. Now, a lot of Paul's writings in the New Testament, where was he at? He was usually in prison. He had maybe been beaten. He had been probably abandoned by many people. He had faced trials. He had faced all kinds of hardships. And yet Paul still said, I'm going to do God's will. And he never, ever wavered from that. Living for Christ, it involves serving, suffering, and glorifying Him. Did you hear that second part? Suffering. And we talked about that too. Lord, why is this happening to me? I've been a good person. I've lived a good life. I've been a Christian, haven't I? Well, here's why we're going to suffer. We go through sufferings because we are learning to lean on God and we are learning to increase our faith in Him and our reliance on Him to know that He is always there and that His Word says He'll never leave us and He'll never forsake us. So we should take joy and comfort in that, but we will suffer. And Jesus told us that in the New Testament, that we would suffer, but He always said to rejoice or take heart because He has conquered all suffering. He has conquered everything that we will ever face. Dying leads to eternal life. And when we die, we're in God's presence immediately. I want to go back to Stephen. When Stephen was being stoned, does anybody know what happened while Stephen was being stoned? He looked up into heaven and he could see. He could see up into heaven. And you know what Stephen was doing while they were throwing rocks at him? He was saying what Jesus would have said, "Father, forgive them." Now, could you imagine if somebody tied you to a pole and started throwing rocks at you? What would our reaction be? Well, if I could get loose, well, I'd give you a black eye and a fat lip. That's probably what some folks' reactions would be. But not Stephen. Stephen, upon his death, immediately when Jesus died on the cross, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And immediately he went to be with the Father. And the thief who believed in Jesus, immediately when he died, he was transported into heaven. So when we die, you're not just, it's your body and your spirit's not laying in the ground. To be absent from the body, the Bible says, is to be present with the Lord. So take comfort in that today. Now, a lot of people think, "Well, I'm afraid of dying because I don't know what's going to happen." Well, if you trust in the Lord, He will give you peace within your heart. I'll tell you what, a good friend of mine, and some of you may know him, Greg Wheaton, he's from down in the Anacobden region down there. The Wheatons was a gospel, they had a gospel singing family all down in the Anna area. And anyway, Randy, he had cancer and he was dying. And somebody shared a picture of him sitting in his recliner. And this is how Randy was in his chair. He had his arms stretched up toward heaven and he was praying. This is what one of his kids was telling me too. They showed me the picture and they said, "While my dad had his hands lifted up in the midst of all his pain and sickness, he was praising God." He said, "Then just like that, the breath left his body and he immediately went away into heaven." And they said it was so peaceful. So at the moment of death, I don't know what it's like, but I can guarantee you this. I've sat at the bedside of many Christian saints who went on to be with the Lord. And I want to tell you this, I really believe that we felt the power and the presence of angels and even the Lord Himself, I would believe, would be there to comfort and then to take you by the hand and escort you over into heaven. And oh, what a glorious, glorious eternity that'll be. Now, the first thing I'm going to look at, living is Christ. It's a purposeful living. To live as Christ means that a Christian's entire life is centered on Jesus. Everything you do is centered on Jesus. Your words, your thoughts, your actions, how you treat others, how you act when you're all alone and nobody's watching. Everything should be centered on Jesus. The decisions you make, how you go about your job. You know, here at work, sometimes there's been people said, "Well, so-and-so over sloughs off." Well, I hope that if we're keeping Christ-centered on our job site, I hope we're hard workers. But even in this Christian life, we should keep Christ the very center of everything. And Christ should be the center of our worship here at church on Sundays. He should be the center of our prayer life. Everything that we do is based on Him, because when we center our life on Christ, I want to tell you this, He will pour into you exactly what you're needing day in and day out. Every need will always be met. Suffering for Christ. When we endure challenges, when we endure persecution or even imprisonment, and like I said, when Paul wrote this letter here, he was in jail at that time. Paul remained obedient to God's will and he glorified the Lord. Now, if you were sitting in prison, if somebody pulled up here right now in a big bus and they come in here and handcuffed every one of us for being Christians and serving the Lord, and then they went and threw us in a cell, how many of us would be singing in that cell? How many, I really think about it, how many of us would be obedient? You know, sometimes in the human mind, we might be thinking, "Well, how could God do this to me?" Like I said earlier, after all I've done, after all I've lived, this is what He's going to do to me? Paul didn't do that. When Paul and Silas were in prison together, they sang all night long. And you know what happened? God shook the jail very hard and violently, and the prison doors swung open, and how they were shackled, their shackles were broken, and they came out of the jail, and the jailer was so scared, he drew his sword and was going to take his own life, and they stopped him from doing it, and that night, a jailer was saved, and his entire family. But how would it be, would we be able to praise God? Sometimes, dark times we go through, doesn't it feel like a prison? Doesn't it feel like you're all alone and nobody cares? I want you to know this. When you feel like you're in these dark and troublesome times, that's when you have to quit thinking with the brain. That's why I always say, let your heart override your mind. And from your heart, where Jesus lives, from your heart, praise Him, give Him honor, and you give Him the glory, and you look to Him to provide exactly what you're going to need. Because you know, God can take any situation that's bad, and He can turn it around and use it for good. Serving and glorifying God. Living for Jesus means that we continue to love, serve, and spread the good news. Because I'll tell you this, if we continue to be faithful, He'll be faithful. He will always supply your need. And get this, when you die and you stand before the Lord, it's going to be wonderful to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, I tell you what, I've had times in my life, I've talked to other people who have endured hardships, and they said the one thing that I didn't do at first was I didn't turn to the Lord, but then I knew that my situation was only going to be made worse if I didn't turn to Him in prayer, if I didn't serve Him. And you know what? When you're serving God, here's what I want to encourage you to do. If you're going through something difficult, I want you to find somebody that you can do good for, that you can help. Because when you're helping somebody else, excuse me, when you're being a servant, it gets your mind off of what you're going through. And what happens when your mind is on troubles? Oh, back to Sunday school lesson. Woe is me. Oh, woe is me. Sometimes it reminds you of them fellas on Hee-Haw. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Whoa! That's how a lot of people choose to live their lives when they're going through difficult times. And guess what you're going to have if you continue that mindset? You're going to have deep, dark depression, agony, and misery. You're going to cause yourself to go through health problems. You will become depressed. You will become psychologically... I'm not kidding you. These things that the devil does to people and affects and invades their mind, it can make you psychologically imbalanced. But when you praise God, when you have a grateful and a joyful heart, He pours His Spirit into you. He pours His love into you. And we draw from that. And when we're praising God, it changes the environment around us. We don't focus on the problems. Yesterday was just, I don't know. I had this spider bite last Saturday, and then sinuses and been sick and just things going on. And yesterday it was a beautiful day, but I just thought, oh, this headache, and I didn't feel good yesterday at all. And now today I sound like a bass singer from the Oak Ridge Boys or something. And I just thought, man, yesterday was just miserable feeling. And I should have taken the time to praise the Lord, and I really didn't. That was my fault. So see, that's an example. I might be a preacher, but I'm still a human being, and if I don't watch how I'm walking and what I'm doing, things can take a dramatic shift or a quick turn the wrong way. Glorifying the Lord means that we will continue to love, serve, and spread the good news. That's how we bring glory to Jesus Christ. Now, dying is gain. in the Lord's presence, that means that for the true believer, death is not the end of everything. It means that you go on to heaven, and this is where we gain everything that God has stored up for us. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's where you, because where your treasures are, that's where your heart is. So if you're working for a purpose, if you're working for His glory, you are storing up treasures for yourself. Now, if you store up for yourselves treasures here, and boy, I see that a lot. Now, I'm just going to say this. There's nothing wrong with having a nice house. There's nothing wrong with having nice cars or whatever. But it's your intentions with what you have that's the problem. If you go about your life not living for the Lord, but you go about trying to amass all the money you can and all the properties you can and getting your name well known out there in the community, you're basically fighting a losing battle. Because what happens when you die? Are you going to take all that with you? Absolutely not. You came into this world a naked baby, and you came into this world with just the life that God gave you. You didn't come into this life bringing wealth and all this into it. So when you go out, you know what? And this is a good example that somebody told me. This is something you think about. You go out and you get all this wealth and all this stuff massed up here on the earth. What happens when you die? People go through your stuff. They do. They go through your stuff and it gets picked apart. People fight over it. Isn't that true? I've seen it happen to my family. Sad thing. I think, boy, if an object or things like that caused that kind of corruption, I don't want no part of it. But people get your stuff and they take your house and all the money that you had. Well, it goes somewhere else. I don't know where. It just depends on how the person had things set up, if they had a will or whatever. So if you set up for yourself treasures on this earth, it's going to be destroyed. People are going to come after it and it's going to be burned away. When this old earth and the old heavens are destroyed and burned away, all that's going to go with it. And there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. So that's why the Bible says, lay up for yourselves treasures up in heaven where thieves cannot break in, moths won't get in there and destroy it, whatever. It won't be harmed. God is storing up for you your treasures, but you've got to be faithful and you have to work. So we have something to look forward to. See, death is not a bad thing for the Christian. Yes, when death happens, we miss our loved ones. And we talked about that this morning too. Now, I didn't correlate any of my sermon with Laura, so this is God. This is all God here. But when somebody dies, we miss them. Oh, do we ever. I had a moment last week. I just sat and cried because I miss my mom. I'd give anything for one of those hugs right now. Oh, would I ever. And how I'd love to see my grandmother sitting at the piano playing and singing those hymns. Now, she could play good. She didn't hit a key all that right on her voice. She sang off key, but I still remember the joy. So, it may hurt when we lose them, but for the Christian, when we die, we have so much to look forward to. We're going to have an eternity in heaven. We're going to stand before the Lord, and we're going to receive. Now, we'll receive judgment. We will be rewarded for things we did. We'll also have to answer for things we didn't do. That's why it pays to be, here I am, Lord, send me and I'll do it. And I can clearly tell you what we talked about in Sunday school this morning. We sometimes fight that. Eternal life. I've done said this, but we will be in God's presence for all eternity. And this is superior to life on this earth. I tell you what, life is good on this earth because I love getting to come to church every Sunday and the smiles and shaking hands and seeing everybody, how you doing and how was your week and things like that. I love to hear all the good things And even if you had a bad week, we got to pray together. I look forward to that. That's wonderful and amazing. And I look forward to see, you know, what God has each and every day or each and every week. But superior to that, I don't know about you, I can't wait to get to heaven because I will no longer be separated from my loved ones. There's no more death. There's no more sickness. There's no more pain and no more suffering. For all of eternity, we will be with the Lord. And lastly, there's no comparison. Paul, he saw that eternity with Christ was very desirable. And Paul knew as a believer that death, it was going to be better for him. Now you think, death better? Well, yes. When you realize where you're going and who you're going to be with, and if you know in your heart that you've lived a good life, now I'm telling you, you're going to fail. You're a human being. I'm a human being. You're going to fail. But when you fail and you fall off the horse, don't just keep sitting on the ground in the dust. You get up, you shake the dust off, you get back on that horse, and you keep on riding. That's what I always heard growing up in my country family. You get back on that horse and you keep riding. It means you don't give up. When the trials and the heartaches come, Father, thank you, and I'm going to press on forward. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to glorify you in all that I say and do. And I just am so thankful for the life He's given me. But one day, I will either lay down. I don't know how I'm going to die. I don't. None of us knows how we're going to die. Or the rapture could happen. I know I'm going up. How about you? I know I'm going up. And oh, what an exciting time. I've always said that'd be the only time you'll see me ever smoking. As soon as that trumpet sounds and I'm out of these boots or whatever I'm wearing, that'd be the only time you'll ever see me smoking. But I can't wait for that day. But until then, for to me to live as Christ. Until that time.